Book of Proverbs, chapter 10. This is exciting. It is 6:27, and I have a third of a page of notes. That means we're either going to get out really early or really late. That's just a great question. How many like the Book of Proverbs? Do you read it every day? If you don't, can I admonish you? Start. Say the whole book. Well, if you want to, read the whole book. But, you know, especially from chapter 10 on, if you even took one verse and just contemplated upon that, you folks who have offices, if you would just print that out and maybe put it in some little conspicuous spot, and as you see that, you might think about it and read it and reread it and ask God, what does this mean? How does this apply to my life? What can I help other folks with this verse? What is there here for me? Because all the Word of God is given to all of us. Some of the verses we'll look at and we think, what is that saying? Have you ever had that problem? I have that problem about 9 out of 10 times. So I have to, God, what does it say? What does it say? And a lot of folks say, well, you went to Bible school and you heard all those things. I heard what men have to say, but listen, you want to find out what God has to say to your own heart. Amen? We need to know the doctrine, but we also need, what is God trying to speak to me about with this particular verse or this segment of the Word of God? And allow that into your life. It's a marvelous, marvelous spot. As most of you know, I read a great deal from the Bible every day, but I'm looking for just one of those gems, one of those jewels, one of those things that just kind of stands out and becomes a blessing to my soul that day. Sometimes three or four things. Sometimes it's like, Lord, where's it at today? But plus it just gives me a lot of review as I get the privilege to read that. But marvelous it is to be able to take the Word of God, let God just speak to your heart and do some marvelous things there. This ain't even dealing with this, but I got a question. What is the character trait that's dearest to God? It's an opinion question. What's the character trait that's dearest to God? I'll put it this way, and it'll help you understand where I'm going to come from. What character trait does God reward the most? We find a whole chapter in the Bible, chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, that basically talks about it. Well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. More of it's required in servants that they be found what? Faithful. Full of faith. Believing God through every moment. Believing Him. Matter of fact, when we believe Him, that means we're committing ourselves to His care. We are committing ourselves to doing His work, not our own, accomplishing what He wants us to accomplish. God blesses in that. Well, we're going to start in verse number 25 tonight. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we may get down to chapter 11 a little bit tonight as well. Father, we thank You so much for this, Your marvelous Word. We pray, oh God, tonight as we look in these Proverbs, everyone just a message in themselves, and I pray that we might do them justice, we might understand, we might be able to project that which You have for us, that You would prompt our minds and our hearts to think and to ponder farther and to allow You to just do a work in every life. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 25, I'm going to read to the end of the chapter. It says, as the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth. I don't know about you, but I get some vivid imaginations on this. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Thank you for standing. Go ahead and be seated. By the way, alongside the Word of God, as you are reading, as you study, as you contemplate, and want to find out, what is God saying to me about this? One of the things you need to understand is the meaning of words. Don't be afraid to pull out the dictionary and look up the word. You say, well, I have to have a Bible dictionary. No, 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 we're talking about words here, and so we're talking about a word dictionary. Get a good Webster's dictionary. I've said this in the past, get the oldest one you can find. Matter of fact, if you can go back to the original, the Webster's 1828, you'll be very blessed by that. Matter of fact, you will find that almost every word, there will be a Bible verse that is used to illustrate that particular word. And what a tremendous. Mr. Webster wrote that we might understand the Word of God by understanding words. So make the dictionary your friend. Don't be afraid to look up easy words, hard words, whatever it is. Find out what they mean. What a blessing to be to your soul. Verse number 25, as the whirlwind, as the whirlwind. Around here we call it a what? Tornado, all righty. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. As that whirlwind goes past, what's it do? It eats up the ground, eats up the things that are in its way. And it says, so is the wicked no more. He's given us a very vivid picture, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. If you want a house to stand, you want to put it on a good foundation. It needs to be upon the solid rock. You put it on the sand, the whirlwind comes, it's going to go floating away. And you'll be thinking you were Dorothy from Kansas and going to the Wizard of Oz. And it's just not the thing we do. But we find here some very interesting thoughts. Righteousness is an everlasting foundation. I wrote this down in my notes, just three words. Righteousness gives us security. Righteousness gives us security. I find one of the major problems in the lives of Christians is insecurity. Unsure of themselves, unsure what God wants, going through life just really, really, what am I supposed to do? And not sure what's expected of them and all these kinds of things. But listen, if you seek to do what is right, you seek to follow after the righteous, we find that there is an everlasting foundation. There is that stability that comes into your life. There is that security that is there. Righteousness gives security. Notice verse number 26. How many like vinegar? There was a time, because I was having all these stomach issues a number of years ago, that I read this thing and said, you know, if you mix honey and vinegar together in a glass of water, it will really help your stomach problems. They called it honeyger. And so for several months, I would mix up this, you know, a couple teaspoons of honey and put it in with a couple teaspoons. And you had to have apple cider vinegar, whole apple cider vinegar, not that stuff you buy off the market in Norman Place. And so I went and I got some of that and I mixed the honey with it. And I religiously, I'd take the spoon, I'd mix that up in the morning. I would drink that down. I'll tell you what you want to do when you have that. You want to have a whole lot of honey. All right. How many of you folks, when you get sick, you gargle with salt water? You know what works just as good? Vinegar. I guarantee you, you'll get over sickness real fast. Okay? But it says, as vinegar to the teeth. You know how your teeth feel afterwards when you have that vinegar on there? And as smoke to the eyes. It's not a pleasant feeling, is it? So is the sluggard. What's a sluggard? A sluggard is somebody who is lazy. So is the sluggard to them that send him. We had a guy in our church, his name was Clem. He's hopefully with the Lord now, he's gone on. And he came to our church in Seattle, and he'd been a longshoreman. And at that particular time, why, there was a big clash on the docks between the longshoremen and the, what's the Chuckers Union, the Teamsters. And the Teamsters were kind of taken over because all the containers were coming on. So that was Teamster Union. And the labor where they would just do stuff by hand, that was the longshoremen. And they had a big run. They'd made big money with it. But now all of a sudden, all that was beginning to close down. And it was containerized. And he was basically out of work. And so I went to my boss where I was at, and I said, hey, I got this guy at work, and, you know, he's been one of these longshoremen, man. He's loaded these boats, you know. I mean, he's done all this hard work and so forth. He could really use a job. And he says, all right, I'll tell you what, I'll hire him. And so he started work there, and I was so embarrassed. Have you ever seen a snail work? Have you ever seen a turtle work? Well, that's what he was. And I would have to look at this and think to myself, beware of who I recommend. I was embarrassed at the way he did not work. Matter of fact, he became the butt of all the jokes of the fellows who worked there, and how slow he was, and how he could make a job last forever. I guess he called it job security. But beware of who you recommend. And so there's some wisdom there that God wants us to have. Somewhere along the line, that can be helpful to us. Verse number 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord. Listen, that is something God rewards. God rewards, he says, in this particular place, by giving us longer days, longer life. I remember a few years ago, I saw an article, and it was talking about from the 70s, somewhat from the 60s, but mostly the 70s, many of the rock people who were singing at that time, and they were singing, you might remember, a lot of the rebellious songs. Songs about revolution, songs about, you know, rising up against your parents, kind of like what some things happen today. And it was interesting to learn that of all these singers and all these who were on this particular platform, if you please, had passed away before they were 40 years of age. And I thought of things of this sort. God does not bless those who do not fear him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. I look at that and I think, you know what? You and I today, we have some great things that we can expect in the future if we are following after the Lord. We have a great hope. It's going to be gladness. The way of the Lord in verse 29 says, is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Interesting what God says. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Following God's way will take us through whatever it is. We're going to find a lot of difficulties in life. We're going to find things that are hard, things that are just almost seemingly impossible. But God is the one who strengthens us through all of those things. Verse 30 says, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. Young folks, listen to something. God's way is what's going to endure. You might think that what's going on in this world and all the things that people are having fun at and all those kinds of things, it's going to last forever. Listen, I've been around long enough to know it doesn't last very long at all. But God's ways and following after him, it is something that endures through the ages. And God wants us to understand that. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. Verse 31 says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue, that's the perverse tongue, the tongue of speaking bad things, says, shall be cut out. And I wrote this down because I believe it's so important. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. You and I today, we need a lot of wisdom. Is that not true? Where do we go to get that kind of thing? Who do we see? Who do we talk to? Advice from those who are godly, it works. How we ought to seek that kind of thing. Matter of fact, there are many verses that talks about the wisdom of those who are godly. But the mouth of the just shall bring forth wisdom. It's those that we ought to listen to, those who we ought to hear those words and allow them to enter into our heart and our soul. But so often we fail to listen to it. I find an epidemic in our society today, and that epidemic is people do not know how to listen. Do not know how to listen. In the last month, we've had a brand new president. He says a lot of things. A lot of folks get all upset and they say he said this, he said that, and he said the other thing. And I think, what did they hear? Didn't say it at all. They perceived he said it. They weren't listening carefully. And they made up some things. And this happens all the time. It happens in churches. We need to listen carefully. Listen to those who have things to say to us. Learn from those who have been through some things. Learn from those who have some wisdom. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. And so if it's coming forth, we ought to be listening and allow it to work in our lives. There's the verse tonight that I'd like to really get at is in verse number 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. I wrote these words down, and I hope it kind of explains it. Politeness is not a trait of the wicked. We have forgotten how to be polite. We have forgotten how to use words that will be helpful in the lives of others. The mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. They're the ones that speak evil. But God wants us to what? Learn how to speak that which is going to have an influence in lives. And how needed that is. Just to be polite. I've heard people say, "Oh, I don't care what people think." When you say that, it's obvious you don't. And it's obvious you don't care. And it's obvious you're not too concerned about your testimony for God. And politeness ought to be that which rolls from us. That which is a part of our lives. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Young folks, learn how to speak that which is acceptable. You say, "Well, there's nothing wrong with it." Might not be in and of itself, but it's not acceptable. Learn those kinds of things. Verse number 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." I could say with this one that inflation is evil, it's sin, which is true, I believe. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. In those days, when they go and purchase things, they would have a balance. They'd bring in their gold dust or their silver, whatever it might be, and the weight would be on one side, and they would weigh it on the other. When that came to a balance, why, that would be it. But if you had the wrong weight there, you could make that so it would be in your favor. But God says that's an abomination. God wants us to understand something, and that is we need to be honest in all of our business dealings. One of the great blessings I've had down through the years with our school kids is that when they find money, they bring it to me. What do most people do when they find money? Stick it in their pocket. And they might find a quarter in the pop machine, somebody forgot to get it. And they don't just grab it and stick it in their pocket, they bring it to me. That's good business practice. It's learning how to be honest. And it's learning that, listen, there's things that are important in life. He says, "A just weight is His delight." God is well pleased with that. When I went to Bible college in Pontiac, Michigan, there was one thing that I found out very quickly. And that is, you better do a good job at work. I worked at a place called Pontiac Motors, and I worked in the axle plant. Most of the fellows that went to school where I did worked in GMC's truck and coach division. They built GMC trucks. And that was probably about 4 or 5 miles from where Pontiac Motors was at. In that shop was a man who was a Christian. He would hire any young person that came, or old person, as far as that concerned, any student who was a part of our school, he would hire. But there was something that person ought to know when they got hired there. If they did a bad job, he would call Dr. Malone, who was our pastor, also the president of the school, and he would tell him about it. If he ever got a call that somebody was not doing their job, not working properly, not taking care of business transactions they ought to, they were immediately expelled from school. That expulsion never came with a reentry. You were done. You were finished. By like token, if he found out that you were doing business dealings and you were not honest in those things, the same thing would take place. He wants us to understand that we need to be above reproach. And honesty is what God wants us to be in our business dealings. How important that is. Verse number 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. I look at this word, these words on where it talks about pride and shame, and with the lowly is wisdom. And I think of this, humility is something that is always going to be profitable for us. When you and I are willing to see ourselves where we're at, my heart doctor, by the way, his name is Randy Pritza. There's a whole group of these guys. There's, I don't know how many there are. It's grown in the last few years. There's more of them since Creighton is now going out there. And it's just a big conglomeration. And he's basically over most of these guys. He's also over a big group of doctors as far as keeping affairs between them settled. And as a result, he's kept his old patients, but he's not taken any new ones. But a brilliant man. And one of the things I really like about Dr. Pritza is this. He has never, ever given me the impression that he thought he was better than me. Never. I can sit and talk to him man to man. Matter of fact, he's had problems he's brought to me when I came in. Interesting. I should have charged him. And we've had those kind of conversations. In our society, oftentimes, we look at different people and we think they're really on the upper echelons. And many times, those kind of folks begin to believe that they are better than other folks. Friday, after I got done talking to him, I reached out my hand and I said, Dr. Pritza. I shook his hand. I said to him, I want you to understand something. I appreciate the fact I can talk to you man to man. And he said to me, I am no better than anybody else. And I said, you have your expertise and I have mine. And he says, that's exactly right. And so often we have the wrong idea. And we get the realization of who we are and the fact that, hey, we're nobody outside of Christ. Amen. Brother Ken Blue, 18 years with ALS. I don't understand it. For the last year and a half, they've been feeding him through a feeding tube. No longer eats anything. It just comes in through there. He still gets on the internet. He still does his blog. He's really trying to get people to think and to consider where they stand, what they believe in things. It's just an interesting character. And I had the privilege, was it 2-3 years ago, to go to the doctor with him. And so I go down, they have an ALS clinic in Seattle, and we go in. And one of the first people to see him, and Brother Blue at this particular time now, he doesn't have a whole lot of control of his mouth. And it's just, you know, just if you've seen folks in this situation, it's sad in one way, but here's the other side of it. First thing I heard was somebody say, how you doing, Mr. Blue? And he says, better than I deserve. Better than I deserve. And somebody else asked him, he said, better than I deserve. And I thought for a moment he's just saying that, and then I realized Ken Blue doesn't just say that. He believes that. Because he knows he's no better than anybody else. God allowed him to do some marvelous things, but he's no better than anybody else. Humility is the name of the game. And we begin to think that we're better than somebody else. Wow. When you get done here, walk out the double doors, turn to your left, and you'll see a drinking fountain. If you're a male, turn to your right. If you're a female, turn to your left. If you're confused, just stop. And fellas, when you turn to the right, there's a door right there. Turn to your left. And when you open that door, look to your left, and you will see a mirror hanging on the wall. And when you look in that mirror, I want you to look and see that the guy you're looking at, he's nobody very special. Ladies do the same thing on the other side. Nobody very special. And how we need this thing called humility. Amen? By the way, the Bible says, humble yourselves before the Lord. I found this out. Don't humble yourself. God will do it for you. But when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Humility will profit you. Don't get the big head. Realize who is really all in all. It is God. Verse number 3 says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Character. Integrity. The opposite, perverseness. It will take us through. Have character. And I want to get to verse 5 because it goes with it. But verse 4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Money's a tool. It's not a goal. They're not going to help us. It's not going to help us in the day of wrath. It's a tool that God gives us. It's something that is useful, but it's not the end. American Christians need to understand that. We have failed at that very, very drastically, I fear. Verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Character takes us through, as I said in verse number 3. But that character needs good principles. Your life will be governed by principles. I sat down two or three weeks ago. I got a notebook. I got a few things I've scratched in there. Principles that I've lived by. I can't say I've always been successful, but there's certain principles we ought to live by. Things that will take us through. A number of years ago, they came out with a program in the public schools and just say no to drugs. What were they trying to do? Get a principle across to kids. The drugs will kill you. Try to get that principle across. They get that principle and realize that, then it will order their life no matter what takes place, no matter what the temptation is there. And that's what we need in our lives. Book of Proverbs, great book. I doubt if I go any farther in this book, but I wanted to take some time, and for the last 3 years, it's been 4 weeks, take some of these Proverbs, look at them in a very simplified way, and just help us to understand, here are some things that are absolutely tremendous. And God gives us these in little bite-sized bits that we can take. Sit down every day, read a proverb, take a chapter if you want to. 31 chapters, you can go through it every month. You say, well, I got other Bible reading. Well, add a chapter to it, no big deal. What's it take, another 4 or 5 minutes? And let God give you some really great things there. We have a course in school. It's on the first 9 chapters. A friend of mine wrote it. One of the greatest synopsis of the book of Proverbs, those first 9 chapters. You can't do it with the rest of it because every verse is just another message. But allow those to have a part in your life. Write them down. Do what you got to do. How many have a phone, smartphone? How many have a Bible app on your smartphone? Many of you do. I don't know what one you use. I use one. It's called Decarta, D-E-T-E-S-C-A-R-T, I think it is. The reason I like it is because when you read the Bible, it doesn't scroll. I can actually flip the pages. Well, the pages don't flip, but you know what I mean. I just don't like the scrolling part. I can't keep up with it. And I use that. That'd be a great place. Put a bookmark in Proverbs. Those bookmarks you can open up to the same place, move it up one, and read that verse the next day. Be a way to do that. You got it with you most of the time, don't you? You're checking Facebook all the time anyway. Why don't you check your Bible app and look for a proverb? Amen? Yeah. You're going to email, right? Snapchat, right? Am I right? I got you, didn't I? Oh, yeah. You know, and all those other things. Just a great tool. Amen. Somebody says, what are you doing? Your eyes on your phone. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible. Amen. Yeah, it's something that's great. I used to make 3x5 cards to study with when I was doing Greek. I'd carry them to work, put them in my pocket, and I'd have all those words on there. I got down to the course, I threw the words away, and my mind's gone from it too. I don't know any Greek. But, it was how I learned it. Just day after day. Do that with the Word of God. Book of Proverbs is a great book to do that in. If one thing I've gotten through in the month of February, hopefully on Sunday nights, is to get you to realize this is one tremendous book. Moms and dads, why not take a proverb? Here's a thought for you. Take a proverb as you're sitting down to supper and just read that proverb. Think about it and discuss it a little bit. That could be your devotional time, whatever you do. And look at that. Just a great opportunity. But we need to let that become a part of us. And it's amazing how those principles from Proverbs begin to order your life. Amen. Well, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much tonight for this tremendous book. Thank you for the privilege that we have to look at these marvelous verses, the truths they contain. And Lord, as we look tonight, we've dealt in so many different areas briefly, and yet what marvelous great truth is contained. I pray, oh God, that you might, through this, energize our hearts and our minds to just dive in ourselves, to allow it to become a great part of our life, that it will just intermingle our soul. And for these things, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you tonight.